Right. My really story starts almost with my birth. We lived in Loughborough, and my father was killed in the First World War. About a month before I was born. And I was just a mother and I until I was 10 years old. And she used to go to whist drives. And there she met a man who was divorced but had got children. And oddly enough, for your respect, he worked in a knife shop. It's what they called a knife smith. In those days, a lot of shoe making was done straight from leather hides or sole leather, and there were very big, heavy knives, perhaps 4 inches deep in steel, had to be forged by hand, say for the shape of a sole. And then these knives were used to cut on a 6 foot long press with the operator moving them out about the wood. Why I've gone back this far is when I was 10 years old, my mother married this man. His name was Herbert Arnold. He got 3 children of his own. So the next thing I knew, we were up sticks. We'd all moved to a new house in Leicester. Turnbull Drive, they'd just been built. And I'd been going to school in Loughborough, leaving at 10 years old. I was coming up for what was called a scholarship. And I was moved. And I didn't quite settle into, because of the house being on Turnbull Drive, I had to go to school at Fulver Rise on the Broadstone Estate, quite a long walk. And I was doing quite well there. I used to come out top of the class and doing quite well. But because we'd moved in what I call the scholarship year, I didn't hit an A1 as I was expected to do in Loughborough. And at Loughborough with an A1, you got the choice of Loughborough College School or the grammar schools. In Leicester, if you got an A1, you went to a grammar school, which was Wiggiston, Old and Newton, City Boys. And if you got an A2, Leicester had got what they called intermediate schools. You went there until you were 16. That's what the intention was. You did a fairly similar course to the grammar school, foreign language and maths and so on. But the turning point came with my stepfather. And the thing was, as soon as I was 14, because he could get me into the BU, he took me away from education and put me into the BU. I was given a fairly simple intelligence test and a few little bits of kit to put together, like a light switch and that sort of thing. And yes, you got the job. And the job was errand boy. And the errand boy role was you had to be in a department, a machining department, typically of between 20 or 30 men, all on lathes, milling machines, drilling machines, fitters and so on. They all had a check number. Everybody had a check number, which was the number you used on the clock when you went. The hours were long. My hours as an errand boy, I'm going back a line. So at 14, 1932, I started as an errand boy at 12 shillings a week, 12 old shillings. That's when there were 20 shillings in the pound, 240 pence in the old pound. And I was doing 48 and a half hours a week for a shade under 3 old pence. The 3 old pence was what they used to call a threepenny bit. And I've just done the arithmetic, and it's 2.96 pence an hour. But you've got to remember, of course, the full rate of a man with a family then at the same time was only about 3 old pounds a week. And if they were given the right jobs and bonus, they could get it to about £3.10. So that was the sunny situation. The saving grace was for me, personally for me, and others like me, of course, was BU had got a far-sighted top management, and they'd established a very good apprentice scheme. And the apprentice scheme, if they wanted you to be an apprentice, you had to be invited to be an apprentice. If you became an apprentice, they would send you to technical college 2 full days a week, but you then had to do on your own time, you had to do 3 evenings a week. And the evenings used to run from 7 till 9 or 7 till 9:30, and you were tied in. That's part of it. You were obliged to do 3 evenings. And their contribution was that you were doing 2 days a week. So you did a couple of years from 14 to 16, starting as errand boy, then put on to relatively simple machining training. And I had the good fortune to be put into, you know this afterwards, of course, I had the good fortune to be put into one of the X departments. Now, X departments weren't on production. They were making the parts for any new model. So the drawings normally went for the production were then printed and set up onto metal sheets and made indestructible and varnished and so on. In the X departments, you used to get prints, just paper prints, from the experimental drawing office. And there'd be the whole variety of different types of machining in an X department. There had been, prior to me joining, three of these X departments, X2, X3, X4. By the time I started in 1932, there were two of these X departments, but they were good for training and apprentices because they got some of everything. Whereas there's a whole department of men on grinding machines, or a whole department of men on drilling machines, or a whole department on lathes. In an X department, you got some of everything. I think perhaps that I might pause at this stage because I was asked to be an apprentice and I accepted. And I'll tell you the next bit because